Is back. This is Philanthropy in Focus. Your boy Tommy D, the one and only, the nonprofit sector connector. That's right. Today I am back in the attic. So the theme song, you know, the whole get caught through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic is on point. I'm not in the office. I'm in the attic. We are rocking and rolling. It is the final episode of 2025. Holy cow, man. 237 episodes in the can, as they say. This all started as an expedition, a journey. You know, it was, I mean, listen, maybe I'm being dramatic. It was only walking up two flights of stairs from the kitchen. It wasn't that much of a journey or an expedition. But I am on a plan of doing 5,000 episodes, shining a light, helping nonprofits tell their story and amplify their message. And this is 237 in the can. Not yet. 236 in the can. Douglas Borgia and I will put 237 in the can. I'm calling this episode Legacy of Genius, Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe. Douglas, before I rant and rave, which I shall do, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Pretty good. A little rainy out by me, but altogether, no complaints.
I like it too, man. But I will tell you, it's a little rainy out by me. But what's great about that is yesterday there was snow on the ground. Today there is not. You know, it's gone from 27 to, I think it's going to be 58 degrees later on. So, you know, it will, it has warmed up a little bit here on our island, on Long Island, right? I like the warm weather.
Absolutely. You know, and we are so blessed to be here on Long Island here. There is such diversity when it comes to the weather patterns themselves and what we have. And, you know, this grounds us, right? So this is, we get these beautiful springs and summers, and we're so fortunate, lucky to be on this island. So, you know, not so bad. Snow,
yeah,
rain.
Not so snow. You get it all. You get all the seasons. I mean, listen, if I got to be honest with you, I lived here my whole life. If I never saw another snowflake, I'd be okay with that, to be honest. But that's a whole other thing. But I haven't left in 47. It'll be 48 years next week, but I haven't left yet. So, all right. So I guess I'm sticking around. So we do the show every single Friday, as I've already ranted and raved about. Just to give I got to give a shout out. I mean, this week we met as a committee for the Long Island Imagine Awards. And I just, it's one of the coolest things I'm involved with. Our agency, Vanguard Benefits, is a sponsor of the Imagine Awards in the Rising Star category. And because this is, you know, season ending, as I would like to say here at the end of 25, going into 26, we're taking 2 weeks off. The studio closes down. Talkradio.nyc closes down. Everybody's not working for the weekend. Everybody's not going to be here for 2 weeks. We're going to be taking some time off. I got to just shout out when it comes up, when the screen comes up about the Imagine Awards, who is the semifinalist? Who are the semifinalists? Maybe we'll get into it later in the show. I was trying to pull it up quick, but I do want to get into this conversation as soon as possible. But the go to imagineawardsli.org, imagineawardsli.org, and maybe we will talk about it. Oh, maybe we'll talk about it right now. Let's see. Let's see if I can get what I'm looking for really quick. Semifinalists for the 2026 Imagine Awards. Again, you got to remember there's six different categories in the Imagine Awards each year. We have a new category this year. Here's what I'm going to fire these off rapid fire. The Serenian Associates Social Impact Award. You got Camp Aquatic. You got Community Development of Long Island. You got EAC Network, ECLI Vibes, and the Interfaith Nutritional Network, Timothy Hill Ranch, and yes, Community Counseling Services. Sir Tilman Ballin Leadership Excellence Award, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Long Island, Girl Scouts of Nassau County, the KIFI, Options for Community Living. We know that organization here on the show, right? Pause of War, the People's Ark, and Tigerman. Many, many organizations have been on the show. Claire Friedlander Family Foundation, the Arts and Culture Award, Bay Street Theater, Cradle of Aviation, Gold Coast Arts, Huntington Arts Council, and the Long Island Arts Alliance, followed up by Long Island Children's Museum and Ouzdan. Then you have the Vanguard Benefits. I know that company. That's us. Vanguard Benefits Rising Star Award, BACA, Bikers Against Child Abuse. I'm friends with these guys. They are the coolest guys going. Book Fairies, Career Day, Inc., Cooking for Long Island Veterans, Morrison Mentors, Smile Farms, love my people at Smile Farms, love my people at The Nest at Nassau Community College, rounding off that category. Then we have the Innovation Award, Career Day, Inc. again, Gigi's Playhouse, Hair We Share, Hope for Youth, Smile Farms again, Spirit of Huntington Arts Center, you know I'm on the board there, the Maurer Foundation on Breast Health Education, and then we have the Sustainability, it's the new one, the Sustainability Environmental Award, Balloon Mission, New York Marine Rescue Center, Peconic Land Trust, Quogue Wildlife Refuge, Save the Great South Bay. This next one is super cool. I'm excited. I want to go out there and do their interview. The Shinnecock Kelp Farmers. That's just a whole nother thing. We'll get them on the show. And the Sisters of St. Joseph. Shout out to the sisters, doing great work here on Long Island, whether it be from the farming or taking care of children and all the work that Sisters of St. Joseph do. Douglas Borgia, let's get into this conversation. Talk about Long Island. Talk about our island. So we're going to talk about your background before we get into to Nikola Tesla, and before we get into Wardenclyffe and the Science Center and all that. I just truly enjoyed a conversation you and I had, only meeting about a week and a half ago by phone, just getting to know each other a little, and really your passion for nonprofit, but like really your passion for people and looking out for your people. When I say that, I mean your associates, your colleagues, the people that work in your organizations, and certainly the people in the nonprofit sector. I want to get into how did you even get started in this work? We'll get into your role now, but first I want to know your journey. Take us down the road, man. Take us down for a let's go on a hike together.
All right, let's definitely do that. But what amazing people you just rattled off, all those colleagues over there in those not-for-profits. I think out of the list that you listed out, three quarters of them are friends, colleagues, supporters. And that's what I really like about not-for-profit culture inside of it. It's a huge dynamic of collaboration, sharing knowledge, passing advice. So all those people, amazing, and they all deserve the Imagine Awards, all in any category. They're good people.
Good man.
For me, my background's a little bit different, right? So I'm a first generation immigrant here. So my parents came here to the United States and born here, grew up in Southampton myself. And as we're growing up, my parents had the opportunity ultimately to be tapped on the shoulder by Habitat for Humanity. And that was my first big experience when it came to the not-for-profit and what they did. For us at that moment in time, what it meant was we'd get a house and it
Wow.
was a hand up. And it was so vitally important and shaped my future. And at that moment in time, you don't know, right? You're influenced by your environment, by the people around you, and obviously what you're born with. But as a result, I would go on to volunteer for Habitat for Humanity, and I was able to see over the series of time other Habitat for Humanity families that received this kind of hand-up situation and what they were able to do with their lives, right? Starting different career paths, being able to chase down college, and being able to follow their own goals and give back to the community, because it is something that when someone gives you something, you feel a duty or responsibility to give back. And at that moment in time, I didn't realize that, but that would eventually evolve into what would be volunteering, and volunteering would lead me into what would be the Children's Museum of STEM. So CME was such a really rudimentary organization for me, where I got to explore that sense of collaboration and that sense of passion-driven people that were trying to have a mission-focused approach to be able to solve the challenge at hand. And as I kind of went through that process in college, and graduated college, and it's not-for-profits have been just a complete natural progression for me, just simply because all I want to do is help. And it all starts from Habitat for Humanity giving me that opportunity, or giving our family the opportunity to give back to the community in our way. So for me, working for not-for-profits is a way to help and feel good. And it's a work-life balance that you don't necessarily always get the opportunity to do in other careers. So it is truly a privilege to be able to work for a not-for-profit where you get the ability to walk out at the end of the day. Trust me when I say everyone's tired, everyone's exhausted. You can't always meet the demand that you have out there, which is sometimes sad, but nonetheless, you feel good about the work that you're able to get done.
Yeah, thank you for all that, and thank you for just sharing your own personal story as it relates to Habitat for Humanity. And I mean, listen, I'm such a I'm always writing down notes, even when I'm doing a show live like this, man. And I put together a page of notes just while you were talking. You know, so many nuggets there. The first thing I want to hit on is this piece about, you mentioned this phrase, hand up. So let's play there a second, because I want to understand why, you know, words have meaning. We know that. Why do you use that term, hand up, versus, I guess, the alternative would be a hand out? Let's go there a minute.
Yeah, definitely. And both. So first, it's really limited to the need, right? You got to acknowledge that in terms of we have hand out organizations and hand up organizations, and the ideal are coupling both. There's nothing wrong with the idea that handing something out is a need in itself, right? So rudimentary needs of biological things like food, that's a handout, right? But a hand up is just solves the underlining challenge that's there, right? Why did they need this product in the first place? And so in a most perfect world, you couple both of those and you're able to meet the need of individual, but build those folks up to be able to do something else, right? That byproduct of what was the underlying challenge. And for me, that was my biggest attraction to non-for-profits. It is not the idea that you simply just solve the problem by providing something, but rather the and this goes back to kind of almost those biblical kind of Bible concepts of you don't want to just give a fish. You want
Teach
to
a man a
teach someone
fish.
how to fish.
Yeah,
But
no doubt.
you need a fish. That's at the end of the
Yeah.
day, right?
No,
It's like,
I need a fish. I definitely need a fish, but like, so I don't have to come back here and ask you for a fish next week. Show me, empower me, give me the skill set, the life skills, so I then can take care of not only take care of myself, but I think in your example, as an individual, as a part of society, going, wow, now I know how to fish. How do I teach others how to fish? And that becomes one of my favorite phrases, the ripple effect. That becomes an incredibly, I always say this too, Douglas, you know, I don't think the ripples are finite. I think the ripples are infinite, because it just goes out. And that goes to that movie many years ago, and that phrase, pay it forward. You know, but it is, man. It's real stuff. It's if we can support and empower and build folks up, like you say there, that becomes the game changer. And that is the ultimate ripple effect. I love it. I mean, had you not received the services and that hand up from Habitat, maybe you don't end up in the nonprofit sector. Who knows, right? So your future was impacted by that. Yes.
And and that ties back into really Tesla Science Center as well. It's one of those intrinsic values that we can't always quantify in society. And that butterfly effect of every action that we take has a consequence. And our goal is really to increase the positive net consequences to society. But it's so hard to be able to kind of metric that in some capacity, right? So, like, there's this massive intrinsic value that cultural institutions really provide to society. And balancing that out of figuring out, you look at Tesla Science Center and you say, well, if you talk about math, we're talking about inspiring innovators, right? But the inspiration and innovation is more of a mindset. It's a mentality. It's a vibe. It's a concept. It's a something the culture that needs these guardrails to be able to steward these things, because a lot of our general culture can feel contradicting against what is the idea of the innovator, right? So chasing down that idea, being different, being unique, bringing all those qualities to the table, and saying what is the problem and what is the challenge at hand, and trying to do that doesn't have this direct economic value that's trackable, right? And maybe one day our AI is moving so quickly that we will be able to track people's kind of little seeds. Because what happens is that you inspire one person and they build a company and they create 100 jobs. Out of those 100 jobs, they inspire other individuals. So you have to find a really balanced approach to the whole process of being able to communicate the functions of what is this intrinsic value, but you have to add direct value as well, right? So it is it it's a very interesting kind of function for Tesla Science Center, where our direct value is we teach so many children about physics and the concept of physics and the kind of underlying principles that Nikola Tesla was working through the sciences that he was doing. But at the same time, it's like what is the secret mission? And it's no secret, right? It is to create more innovators. Everyone can be a Nikola Tesla, you know, whether you are compelled about his story about being an immigrant. He's a definition of the United States immigrant that builds such an amazing empire here. Whether it's someone that's a brilliant genius, but really what is the goal here is to get more people to unlock their own potential through the storyline of Nikola Tesla combined with the educational components of what we do.
Yeah, I mean, so much in what you said. We're going to take a break in a sec here. I just want to underscore a couple things. I mean, so interesting. Like, you know, I have 4 children, and I will say, as challenging as my mornings are, I'm blessed to 95% of the time I bring my kids to school, you know, unless I have an early meeting and I just is unavoidable. You know, my wife will help me out and do that, because with the way we've set up things scheduling wise is you know, it's a situation where I got them in the morning and I get them out the door. And I'm constantly like, they're not loving going to school. They're not digging it all the time, to be honest with you, you know? And it's such a big part of their day going to school. And I'm just like, man, you gotta find something that vibes you, man. You gotta find something you're digging there, because you're investing, whether you want to or not, you're getting out of high school, man. You're gonna graduate from high school, figure out what's gonna happen, who's gonna go to college, who's not gonna go to college, who's gonna go to trades, who wants to play first base for the Mets, let's go Mets, you know, and who's gonna do different things. And you know, we have some you know, one of my children is an excellent singer, and you know, maybe that's her path, but we'll figure all that out, right? But we gotta get through high school. And what you're talking about is these innovators and inspiring people, you know, that you could do really cool things. And you mentioned physics, and you mentioned, you know, one innovator, one inventor empowering, or really just engaging others, right? So Nikola Tesla is no longer with us in the physical form, right? But the story is, your organization, Wardenclyffe, is, and we're gonna get into that and what that looks like programmatically shortly. But that I've never been there. I live on this island my whole life, man. I gotta tell you, I've never actually been there. I mean, I will be. Well, you know, we're gonna make something happen in January, right after the new year. But it's so interesting how, you know, even though you live somewhere your whole life, you don't even realize that the history is right there. I mean, I just gotta call out again the Shinnecock kelp farmers. I mean, I'm gonna go out there and see the Shinnecock kelp farmers, which are changing our waterways by planting this kelp, and it ends up cleaning the water. And we're not going to go into that. They'll come on the show one day. But that's just the point of, that's how much history is around. That's how much technology is around. And that technology is ancient technology when we're talking about the kelp and what it does for our environment. So there's, gang, I guess we're going to go to break now, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, man, the world is super cool. There's so many cool things you can see out there, man. Touch stuff, play with stuff, learn things, man. You know, I think for all its challenges, social media and the internet has, and yes, there are many, YouTube is like one of my closest friends, man, because I can learn so much by going to YouTube. I fixed my, separate from all this, I fixed my dishwasher a couple of weeks ago. No way, 5, 7 years ago, I'm fixing dishwashers. But YouTube can help. But you can also learn about Tesla, and you can learn about Dr. Joe Dispenza, and the, you know, quantum law and all these different cool things. So Douglas, how about we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we will dive more into your career, how you got to this organization. I mean, you know, you did work, as you mentioned, at the Children's Museum of the East End, so I want to get into that. And I also want to talk about some of your work at, you know, in immigration. I want to hear about that and how that has informed some of your work and things like that. So Douglas Borges here from the Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe. The show is Philanthropy in Focus. And guess what? We're late for a break. That's how the show works, gang. If you've been paying attention, that's how we operate here. We'll be right back. Philanthropy in Focus.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
I think, you know, for all the other qualities that this man had, Mr. Nikola Tesla, the mustache is pretty cool too, gang. I'm all about the facial hair, so I think it's a good look. You know, the mustache is unfortunately not as common as it used to be, man. But I think it's a good look. It's mainly for folks being ironic, right? I think it's mainly for folks being ironic and hipsters. I think that's kind of who have taken the mustache on. So, but Mr. Tesla had a nice mustache. Anyway, Tommy, what are you talking about? That's the show, gang. That's what goes on. We talk about mustaches and we talk about physics. All right, Douglas, let's get into this. So you're working at the, let's go back to the museum, back to the other museum, you know, the Children's Museum of the East End. That is sort of out of school, out of college. That's one of your first like full-time jobs, that sort of thing. Let's take me down that path.
Oh, sure. It was a fantastic experience. It was an opportunity for me to grow. It was an opportunity for the executive director there really offered a substantial amount of support and really, I think, influenced my way that I go about, you know, treating the rest of the team. No one works for me, right? We work together. We're a team, we're a unit. And what is our goal? Our goal is to build you up so you can be the boss, you can be the next person, you can tap. So the way that that culture was truly set up and such a tight-knit, small, passionate group of individuals that all had each other's support and backs and understanding, it was important because we all make mistakes, right? And being open and honest and learning from those mistakes and having sessions that say like, this is what happened, getting to the bottom of it, but coming from a place that says, how do we do this to improve, mm-hmm. was such a great, really first working experience that was quite influential to the way that I go about my everyday. You know, I can't say that there's this one element that is so impactful and everything. It was the whole thing. It was seeing the team fully operational. It was seeing people that were passion driven. It was people that were really oriented, not on understanding the problem necessarily, but rather understanding the problem and doing something about the solution, right? Creating a plan, doing something about it.
Yeah, man, there's so much in life. Like, I think great leaders are all about, listen, don't bring me a problem, man. Bring me some ideas. Bring me some solutions. Like, we got an obstacle in the way. That's okay. What are we going to do about it? Two or three ideas, right? And then, you know, I see a lot of C-level folks that take that and you know, that's empowering your team members to go figure it out and sometimes it's going to be the wrong solution. And it might not be the solution the executive would have chosen themselves, but we also got to make mistakes and figure things out. So I think there's something so important because there's, you know, there's the defeatist mindset, which I would consider in my own words, but somewhat immature, where they just come to you and go, this is broken or whatever. Great. Okay. Things break. Cool. What are we, and I don't mean broken like at just as a physical item, gang, but a process is broken. A system is broken. So what are we going to do about it, Douglas? What, like from a leadership perspective, talk about that a little bit.
You know, and that's it, Tommy, right? I find the solution is never forwards or backwards. It's usually left and right. It is asking those who are around us. There are so many brilliant people. And I find that, you know, it's interesting. Inside of the C-suite, And generally in business, people think like, oh, it's all these numbers and formulas and different things. The reality is that it's problem solving and it's creativity, right? Mm-hmm. And it's naivety to be able to say that you have all the solutions and you have all the what's going to happen. And that totalitarian kind of function, it has no place in non-for-profit culture, in my opinion. It really is that you take that collective mind of ideas and people and bring them all together and try to flush them out. Yeah. And that process is, it just works so much smoother when you're working as a team and you could look, turn over to your buddy and say, hey, I have this problem. What do you think I should do? And gathering that around with the team and then saying, these are all the possible solutions. And then trying to figure out which one rises to the top is just the methodology of crowdsourcing, right? And you think of like Nikola Tesla himself was a crowd surfer. You know, he believed in this world of interconnecting people through the use of the envision this world of the internet being available and power distribution things. So, you know, when what ultimately attracted me to Tesla Science Center would be kind of those threads and needles of what I was already doing at CME. It was the culture of finding the solutions as a team and how do we do this together and figuring out what can we possibly do to, solve for the problem.
So let's talk about that, man. You know, I just, while you were talking, I just thought to myself, you know, you got the Napoleon Hill book and probably around the same era really of Mr. Tesla, but the Napoleon Hill book, Think and Grow Rich. And I just Googled it real quick over here, you know, the mastermind, one of those concepts in the book, you know. I love that. And I love the team word, the word you use several times about team and just that piece there, because, you know, anybody that works with me works with me. I don't care if somebody would be considered a quote unquote employee or a contractor. Anybody who's on my team is a teammate and they fill in, you know, we you and I chuckled a bit before we hit record here and started going live. But, you know, those who know that Tommy D has the ADHD and it is a blessing in so many ways. And you know what? Sometimes it might be a challenge and sometimes it might be a challenge for our spouses who don't have the same beautiful brains we have. But what it is, you know, you fill in those gaps with players on your team where it might not be that spot where you excel. Well, you get somebody who loves that. And in my case, I have team members who are like ridiculous on the organizational side of things and can really structure and run process. Process is not my game. Vision is my game. Networking is my game. Making friends, you know, seeing big picture stuff. That's my game. But I need, you know, those people like me, for instance, need implementers. You need other people. And again, not employees, but partners and teammates. What do you say about that before we go to a break?
No, you are 1,000% correct. And I have ADHD. And I find this as one of the most powerful tools that I have in my reservoir. And the thing about it is everyone has a different set of tools and a different mindset. And that diversity plays an important role in thought and it plays an important role in problem solving, right? So we all bring our different life experiences, our different kind of nuances, what we like to do, what we maybe, you know, don't like to do. And that diversity in thought and that diversity in experiences brings diversity in solutions. And the more ideas that we have, that is the most important function that we can do. It's not the problem. The problem is defined usually, right? If you don't know the problem, we can generally say, what is it? You can define it. That's never the issue. The challenge really becomes, how do you garner enough ideas to be able to say which one makes the most amount of sense for you to implement? And that solution really comes from diversity. And I have thrived inside of this function because, I come from we're an immigrant family and we spoke a different language at home. And then I go to school and we speak English. And those in itself become these two cultures. And then you have what this like in between culture in itself. And so it just gives me a different perspective. And that doesn't mean that my perspective is right. It just means it's mine and mine individually. And it gives me the ability to come up with some other solutions. And I cherish and value that because other people I know have other thoughts, other solutions, other abilities, other things that they can do and bring that to the table. So however we can inspire those people to be able to say, two big elements, right? You never want to be able to say to a team member, they bring you a problem. You don't want to say, get right into the problem. You want to be able to acknowledge that, but move very quickly into what do you think we should do? Because you want to know what the problem is, but you need to be able to gather as much of that kind of cumulative brain trust that you can possibly can, that you can manage, right? It's still a balance. There could be a death by a million ideas, right? We all have a pile of good ideas outside of our door, but you need to couple that with action. So yeah. Saying, it's a good idea. This is what we're going to do about it. And not letting the perfect get in the way of the good. You know, we
love that. Yeah. I love that one. Not letting the perfect get in the way of the good. Like you gotta, you know, not to say you just, you know, flippantly or flagrantly do anything, but you gotta do something. There needs to be action. There needs to be some action. So at least we can iterate and go, okay, that didn't work. Or wow, that did work. What if we twist it a little this way and see what happens next? We're going to go to a break. We come back. I really want to dive in to the history of this organization. Like, why does it even exist? Like, you know, it was, what was it? How did it just get left alone? When, what is the resurgence? We're going to talk all about that. Your role as, you know, as chief operating officer, but right now as interim executive director and all of that, and what this organization looks like and how soon is Tommy D coming for a visit. We'll get to that in the last segment, but let's do this. We'll come right back. We'll take a break. You know, this is, let's go to the break. We'll take a break. And then we come back, we dive into the organization, the work, the programs, everything that's happening at the Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe, right here on Strong Island, baby. Right back, the nonprofit sector connector. See you in a minute.
Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
That is right. Cut through the static. Join me in the attic. You know, most of the time, although sometimes I'm on the road these days, sometimes I'm in the office. We are all over. So let's get back into it. Douglas Borgia, currently chief operating officer and interim executive director, or I guess really interim executive director as we stand and sit here right now. Let's get into, why does this organization exist? How, what is the history of the org? Let's go there, and I'll pepper in some questions as you tell me some stories.
Yeah, so this organization has a pretty awesome, sick background, right? So taking it back even before the organization existed is, who was Nikola Tesla, right? So Nikola Tesla is just absolute genius that comes to the United States. And he starts working for Edison. And, you know, he does a lot of cool stuff while working for Edison, decides he's ultimately going to break off, start his own company. He is just plagued by this, like, prolific thought that just comes through his mind. He's got an idyllic memory. He speaks seven languages. This is an individual that absolutely loved doing exercise, walked for miles a day, loved swimming, you know, very uniquely character person. I mean, was very uniquely different in even just his neurodiversity, right? Kind of way that he approached things inside of it. He goes on to really create what would be our modern day grid. It's probably what he's best commonly known for. He's a prolific inventor, over 100 patents that he has, worldwide over 300. I mean, you think about this guy, it's just this is the amount of impact he has to our everyday life quantifiably is unbelievable. Right. So we get to turn on powers and lights thanks to Nikola Tesla's technology. Right. So at the same time, he's developed so many other technologies and is the father of so many different things. He's the father of renewable energy in terms of electricity, the father of drone technology. Right. He creates this RC drone boat that he, right here in Shoreham, just drives it around. You know, it's an oversized RC boat, but nonetheless, it's the first drone that ultimately gets operated. And this is an individual that just had a large set of diversity and acknowledged the fact that nature has had such a huge amount of time to evolve and would often take a page from nature. But he had one underlining theme. He was doing it all for the people. It was for the betterment of humanity. Right. Mm-hmm. And so he believed that things like power distribution would add such a huge value to society. And as a result, it would be able to uplift entire civilizations. And we can undoubtedly say that was a no-brainer. Not only did he provide power, but he also provided things like radio. Today's radio talk show is brought to you by Nikola Tesla, if anything, right? So he's a super awesome guy. I can go on for hours and hours and hours just on one set of topics. So yeah, very diverse, and you couldn't write a book about his life. You have to put books about his life. That's how complicated it was. He was very plugged into society at the same time. You know, he was hanging out with presidents and mayors and, you know, celebrities, and, you know, he lived a very lavish lifestyle at the same time. And then he had human qualities that ground us of saying, like, look, this man deserves to be on this pedestal for obvious reasons, but he also had fundamental human flaws. He was a terrible businessman, right? Like, he never found that person that could guide him ultimately to be that better businessman or just kind of work with or collaborate. Same time, you go back to even other things that help us acknowledge the humanity that he had. It's really, why did he come to the United States? And he came to the United States. He was out studying, going to college in Europe. And what ended up happening is he racked up some gambling debt. He decided, right, to Edison and say, hey, Edison, why don't I work for you? I don't really need college. I'm brilliant. Edison says, great. So you could see how he's brilliant, but at the same time has fundamental flaws. And that is the beauty about who Nikola Tesla is, that he's a genius, but he's also a human and fundamentally flawed.
Yeah, I mean, that's the human experience, isn't it? I mean, when you think about like any sort of like arc of the hero story, the hero's journey, right? Or, you know, which you see a lot reflected in comic books and the Genesis story and thing. But, you know, all those, like, whether they be like the mutants or whatever, there's always that character flaw. There's always something there. And why is that appealing to us from a story perspective? Because that's all of us. Because that is who we are. No matter how great you are, you know, there's something there. There's some challenge. And I always say it like this. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. That's something I try to live by. You know, I just want to key in on one thing that you said there, the betterment of humanity. You know, not to throw anybody under the bus, but in this current, as we stand here, sit here, 2025, tail end of 25, really, there are folks who are leaders in this type of work now, but I don't know that they're doing it for the betterment of society or if they're doing it for the betterment of their bank accounts and the betterment of the size of their yachts, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you know, I'm not going to call out anybody because that's not what I do on the show. You can figure it out what I'm talking about, gang. But like, this is a man who, he wasn't doing it to become super wealthy, it sounds like. He was doing it because it was right and people were going to be helped. Again, from the ripple effect, but we're going to be helped into generations. Talk about that.
Yeah, 1,000%. You're so spot on. And that's we as an organization try to embody the qualities of who is Nikola Tesla. And I think the best representation of how much he truly believed that technology would add value to society was after he created what would be the AC distribution motor that powers our modern day grid. The company that he collaborated with Westinghouse, George Westinghouse, approached him and said, we've incurred this massive amount of debt. And at that point, everyone knows Nikola Tesla's name. And he says, well, his royalties are very high. So instead of renegotiating his royalties, instead of saying, let's pause the royalties associated with that, let's do something else. Let's put a balloon payment. Let's do all these things. So, you know what? The people deserve power. And he opted to rip up the patent altogether and the rights to use. And it gave Westinghouse the ability to increase the access to power distribution all over. We're not talking about just the United States, all over the globe. And that
Wow.
was so powerful because you got to understand that previously to this type of technology with both radio and power distribution, we were limited to weather patterns. You couldn't read a book at night. You had to go to college during spring and fall semesters, right? There was
Right.
this idea of going to college during the winter was insane, right? That didn't exist because you're following weather patterns. Now you have the ability to be able to communicate. And you see kind of this direct correlation even to the amount of dictators that we have in terms of globe. And you have radio communications that increased. And what do dictators hate? Communications. And radio helps topple them down. What else do they hate? A well-educated people. Well,
Of
now that
course.
you can turn on the light and read a book and do things, it was that vision that Nikola Tesla saw that was for everyone. And we wanted to be as many people as possible, not to be limited to, the wealthy or the limited few to access this. But he felt like you empower the people, you have the solutions that are driven by the rest of the individuals, and as a collective sum, we rise through technology. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I love that. Rising tide lifts all ships, lifts all boats. I love that. So he was doing this work. He was in New York and he was doing this work out here on Long Island. And then, eventually he passes away, I guess in like the 40s or something like that. Is that right? And then what happened to the space, to this, the Wardenclyffe? What was there? Was it, I'm assuming it was in disrepair. Tell us about that.
100%. So, acknowledging that Wardenclyffe is like the pinnacle of his career and also combination of his career. So, his vision for Wardenclyffe was to combine multiple technologies that he was working on. From an economic standpoint, he would tell his investors that it's predominantly for communication patterns to Europe. It's why we're here on the east end of Long Island, right? It sticks out, it's easy, geography. And for other reasons, he selected the site. But nonetheless, 1901, he has a site that's effectively in use inside of it. And the top goal there was to communicate with Europe. People like JP Morgan are invested inside of it. So in his mind, he's like, you know what? I can kind of hedge the markets in Europe. I can make some money off of Europe. He wants that
Right.
information. Previously to
Sure.
this, you'd have to wait for a boat, right?
Yeah,
You're
right. We're
waiting.
talking about data. We're talking about access to data, right? That's what we're talking about. And
Right.
that's why a financier would love this and would bankroll something like this, because it's a way for them to make money with it. Yes.
1,000%, 1,000%. So, and as that grew, right? So, 1901, he's at the precipice of what he's of the beginning part of his project here at Wardenclyffe. But Wardenclyffe's site was really twofold. It was power distribution and also communication. And so in 1903, ultimately, we had Marconi and the Marconi Company create the first pattern to Europe. And that pattern was pretty simple. They just used a balloon hopper essentially and Morse code the letter J. So this balloon floated to about the middle of the sea. And then they had this repeater on it and they sent a signal to it. And then it sent over a signal over to Europe. And that was the beginning of the downfall for Nikola Tesla from a business perspective, because you had the media pick up that communications to Europe done by Marconi, not by Tesla. But that wasn't even Nikola Tesla's full vision. His vision of Wardenclyffe was to have these Wardenclyffe towers all over the world to distribute power and communications completely wireless. So the idea that he created the modern day grid, and instead of saying, oh, well, I'm making money off of it, I'm just going to live the rest of my life, he said, I can do better.
Yeah.
And he chased that thought down to Wardenclyffe. And so Wardenclyffe's the idea was that you'd have this power and communications distribution where we live in a society that doesn't have wires at all. So you look at things like Texas, and they're constantly having power kind of issues, right? You'd have this other board in Cliff Tower down there, and utilizing, and I'm oversimplifying some of the science inside of it, but kind of a similar concept to ground resonance, you would float the energy through the globe, and you'd pick it up at this other tower, and that gives you the ability to be able to distribute power throughout the world. You know, there's some limitations on the physics and science associated with that. And just generally speaking, to me, and I think a lot of people, science isn't about success, right? That's business is about success. Science is about chasing your own curiosity. And the byproduct of it sometimes isn't realized immediately. And sometimes it takes generations to even activate. And you look at that, like the internet, created in the 1960s, essentially, right? It wasn't until the 80s that it was getting some movement, 90s with .com. And, you know, today we get to have a combination of radio and internet. You know, this is, we're talking, technology takes time to get a hold of in society. And the product that we're delivering as scientists or engineers are never necessarily this one-to-one where it's of value, but rather we're chasing curiosity, and we hope that a better understanding of this information will ultimately lead to something that could be of value, but the value of it is not relevant to the scientist or the engineer. That's where the business person comes in. And in a perfect world, you have to marry both of them because you have bills to pay.
Right. No doubt about it. And so many cool tidbits. Science is about chasing curiosity. Gang, I would go one step further just to say life is about chasing curiosity, man. People go, what is this life for? I think it's to find cool stuff out, test things out, try things out. You don't have to be the next Nikola Tesla. You could be. You know, somebody will be. Somebody's going to do that. Maybe they're here already. Maybe, you know, maybe they have names that we can recognize. But the thing is, gang, you got 80 years at this thing. Right? Give or take, you got 80 years. Enjoy it, man. I started talking about with Douglas earlier, I said about my own children when I drop them off at school, and like, I don't want to go to school. It's not fun. It's boring. Gang, I know there's something you can find fun and exciting that'll get you juiced up in the work you're doing. Or if not, don't do that work anymore. Don't do that work anymore. To the best of your ability, go find something that is going to get you fired up, because as far as I could tell, you get one shot at this thing, and take it and enjoy it while you're at it, and be curious, man. Freaking try to figure things out. And I would go one step further again, and then we take a break. Don't give up playtime. Don't give up. Just keep playing with stuff. Try to figure things out. What's playtime? This show is playtime, right? My partners and I growing our business is playtime, because we're just figuring stuff out, man. We're working together, trying to do cool things, understand things. And like to your point about technology, man, listen, for all its challenges this time in history, this is the coolest time to be alive, man. You can access anything you want. You can get all the information, all the data. You can learn things. You can go to school. Man, you could take a Harvard-level course on YouTube, gang. You're like, I mean, I'm talking to one of my kids who's about a year and a half away from that college situation, you know? There's so much access, man. You can just get information and data. Let's take a break, Tommy D. Okay, we'll be right back.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
That is right. Cut through the static. Join me in the attic. We sometimes refer to this as the lightning round. Why? Because your boy always wanted to be a game show host, and we usually have less time than I need to at the end of the show, so we call this the lightning round. All right. I want to ask you something, Douglas. You know, I look at your background, and you know, you have your associate's degree in CJ in criminal justice. You have your bachelor's degree in criminal justice and law. So my question is, you sound very well spoken, and you have a very good understanding of science. So my quick question is, how important was science to you before this role? Because or is it because you do this, you had to get the vernacular down? Real quick one on that.
Yeah, both is the answer, right? So first, I've always loved kind of the science and engineering. I love tinkering with different toys. And so that's just my own natural curiosity that I've always done. And at the same time, you know, it's for me, it's trying to find the there's always terminology when you kind of move into the next thing. For Tesla Science Center, we're actually not the scientists. We're not the engineers. We are the scientific communicators. And our job is to layer it down and excite people. So right. That comes through informal education. That comes through excitement of the technology. It comes through the unlocking the potential and, you know, kind of going through that process. But There's no one thing. There's been my life experiences, and combined with my educational kind of background, have led me to where I am now.
That's awesome. I love that. And it's really breaking it down, as you say, maybe for the layperson who is not a scientist, and the person so they can grasp this. Like, I am not a scientist, but I'm vibing with you, man. I'm getting what you're talking about. So I dig it. I don't want to wait much longer to come out for a tour. So we will work that out. Gang, the website is TeslaScienceCenter.org. TeslaScienceCenter.org. Check it out. All right, Douglas, talk to me about programs. I see STEAM. I see educational programs. What does it look like to be connected to the organization?
Well, there's a lot. So we right now we're in a growth pattern stage. So what that means is that we do a lot of programs going out to school districts. We go to we do informal education. We do presentations, conferences, symposium. We do some coding classes, and they're all underlining theme is linked to Nikola Tesla, technologies that Nikola Tesla was working on. And we combine what is that storyline of the who is Nikola Tesla into the science, the history, and the culture, right? Because we want to empower these people to see these see themselves, to unlock their own potential. We're kind of a little bit all over the place when it comes to some of the programs. We in 2026 will be expanding even more programs on site as we get the visitor center completely under construction, and then from there we'll be about 3 years of just programmatic expansion, delivering programs online, virtually. We've done some podcasts. We've done some other things that we do. And part of this is this, right? Talking about who is Nikola Tesla. We want you to know, because we truly believe that his storyline of what he was able to accomplish is embedded in kind of everyone in society, and not everyone knows who and what he's done.
Yeah. I think, thank you for all that. And, you know, I'm inspired to just have conversations with people about that curiosity piece again. You know, it's not, folks, some may become the next Tesla, the next science, the next physicist, the next genius, but not everybody will. But it's still, why not experience these things and get, and because I think, you know, like from a holistic perspective, you know, I can learn from Tesla how to think creatively about my Vanguard Benefits, our business, which is an employee benefits operation. And I can learn from that, right? We're all impacted by everything, affected positively and negatively by all the different things that we get access to and the experiences we have. I mean, even as you and I talked about, Douglas, at the beginning, around teams, and teams bring their experience and they see the world through their lens. And all of that is well, most of it is positive, but maybe some of it isn't. But it's the opportunity for different aspects of our life to be impacted by what we experience. And I know for a fact, when I come out for a visit, I'm going to see things that are going to go, oh, man, you know, well, isn't that interesting how, you know, they thought about that creatively back then. And that's something that I can apply to my business. And that's just so cool. Talk to me about events coming up. How do you guys do fundraising? Like, tell me about that real quick.
Yeah, fundraising is all over the place in terms of what we do. There's no one bucket that is the bucket, right? Private philanthropy, people, just memberships, things like that, combined with some state and federal funding associated with it. Federal funding has been a bit of a challenge for the last, you know, couple of years now. So we'll kind of reposition and renavigate that. But and then we have a couple of events, you know, throughout the year. We're in a little bit of a pause during winter. And come spring, we'll be celebrating what would be the opening of the visitor center. And then we move into some of the on-site programs that happen in the summer. Big one to note is the expo. It's this giant celebration of Nikola Tesla's technology. Last year we did, or actually this year, we did a couple hundred drones up in the sky, like 300-400 drones. And we put Nikola Tesla's face. He's the father of radio technology and drones. So it's very natural to be able to celebrate Nikola Tesla. Not everything is about numbers and things. It's just sometimes we need to use technology to inspire, to see, to do, and visualize it, because that is a stepping stone into really getting into the depths of what is getting a PhD that becomes a lot more technical and niche.
Did you, so wait, I don't know if we missed this. Did you take those drones and made his face like up in the sky or something like that? Come on, man.
Yeah, come up with the whole storyline.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Oh my God, we got to talk about that. That's a whole nother show. That's just a show just about that. That's really cool. So I'll make sure to find out more information about the expo. We'll talk going into 26, you and I for sure. I would like to invite you, if you weren't already going, Douglas, a guest of mine at the Long Island Imagine Awards, since we started off the show about that. You mentioned you had a lot of friends in the room. You're a guest of ours, Vanguard Benefits. We got a table. I'd love to have you sit with us. And you know, come out, meet some new people, shake some hands, the whole deal. I'm appreciative of you, man. Appreciate it, this new connection we have. It was actually Mark Safran who connected us. He was like, Tommy, you got to talk to Douglas. And then this all happened. So folks, I leave you, you know, with a couple things. I'll say, as I always say, everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. Hashtag ending the stigma together. We're going to end stigmas around mental health issues. We're going to end stigmas around neurodiversity. We're doing things. We're going to change the world. This has been another In Focus production. I'll see you guys in 26. Make it a great day. Thanks, gang. Bye.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of the hard skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to the hard skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.